Jesus in our lives here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to look at some verses in John chapter 17. And there's a very interesting thing here that we can find about what the Lord does for you and for me. And in John 17, I'll start reading at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So the Lord Jesus, he prays for you. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You may have struggles in your life. You may have difficulties. You may have good things in your life. God is there. The Lord Jesus is praying for you. When you serve him, when you tell the gospel to others, the Lord Jesus, he's praying for you. When you're at your school or at your job, Lord Jesus, he's praying for you. He doesn't pray for the world. He doesn't pray for the unbelievers, unless they're going to be saved someday. But he prays for you. That's a comfort to me, to know that the Lord Jesus prays for me. There's temptations, there's struggles, and there's joys. But whatever it is that you're what you're enduring or going through or enjoying, the Lord Jesus, he's praying for you. There's another verse, 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Part of the prayer of the Lord is that you would be kept. That you would be kept through the name of the Lord Jesus, through the name of the Father. Those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. The Lord Jesus wants you to be one with him. One with the body of Christ. We know that that has happened. The Lord Jesus sent the Spirit down on the day of Pentecost, and he formed the body of Christ, the church. There is one body. And the Lord Jesus, he keeps that. And you are part of that body of Christ. And he keeps you there. You cannot lose your salvation. There's no way you can lose your salvation. You are kept by the power of God. And then verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The Lord Jesus wants you to have his joy fulfilled in yourself. That's the believers. He wants you to have your joy separate from the world. He doesn't want your joy to be dependent on the things that you think are necessary for your enjoyment in life. He says that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The Lord's joy. He wants you to have his joy in you, but coming from him. Not the joy of the world. The joys of the world, the pleasures of the world, they're there. And they last for a short time. But they don't last. But the joy of the Lord, he wants you to enjoy that. He wants you to enjoy his joy. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What is the world? You go to school and the world hates you. But do they really? They welcome you. Unless you speak to them about the Savior. If you speak to them about the Savior, they don't care for you so much. Your value to them goes down. And they stop asking you to do some things with them. And maybe you feel hurt because they don't ask you to go to things with them. If you confess the name of the Lord Jesus, that's what it says in Romans 10:9. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved from temptations. You'll be saved from the world trying to draw you into them. If you confess the name of the Lord, you can be saved from those temptations. And so the world hates the believers because you are not of the world. The Lord Jesus, He was not of the world, and they hated Him. They crucified Him. He came down. He's the Son of God. He is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down to be the Savior of sinners. The world hated Him. The world hated Him. They had nothing to do with Him. They crucified Him. The Jews, they crucified Him. The Romans, they hated Him. They didn't want Him around. And if you are living the life of a Christian, the world's going to hate you. You can do things to make them think well of you in sports or in business. And some of the things that we have to do in this world, they're necessary. And a lot of business principles are based on Christian principles, and that's why there's such success with business, because they're based on biblical principles. And so if you are a good Christian, you're a value to people. But if you bring up your Christianity, if you bring up the name of the Lord Jesus, you're going to be hated in this world. That's what you can expect as you grow up. You get old enough to go to school, to go to work, and get a job, have a family, and you can know this, the world will hate you. And it's getting worse. Then it says, verse 15, Lord Jesus, He continues His prayer. And He says, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We are in this world. We can't get out of it. We have to live in it. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. And the Lord Jesus' prayer for you is that you be kept from the evil that's in the world. First, you need to establish what is the world. Is it the people? It could be. Is it the things that people do? The things that attract us? There's a lot of things that the world has to offer. And I don't think we can pinpoint one thing and say, that's the world. But the world are things that we see around us that attract our hearts and try to pull us away from the Lord Jesus. When you go to public schools or university, they teach you to get ahead in this world. They teach you to forget about God. And they teach you all the evils, and they make the evil seem not so bad. And as you go to the school and you go to the work and you see all the wickedness people do, you get used to it. And you get used to the language. And you hear the escapades that the people have. And they live for the weekend so they can get drunk. And you hear this every week. You hear this all the time. And it doesn't seem so bad anymore because they're nice people. The Lord Jesus prays for you, not that you should be taken out of the world, but that you should be kept from the evil. There's a lot of music. Not all music is evil, but there's some. And if you listen to any of the radio stations, you're going to hear some of it. Some of it's okay. But if it takes your heart away from the person of the Lord Jesus, it's the world. And there's movies and there's sports. But we played some basketball this afternoon. You had a lot of activities this weekend. Is there anything wrong with that? Is that the world? That's part of the natural man, that we can enjoy things. But when we get on a sports team that takes us away from the meetings, what is it How many of you go to the midweek meetings? You don't have to put your hand up. I'm just asking you. You ask yourself. How many meetings do you miss? And why do you miss them? Is it because of work? Or school? Some of these things are necessary things that we have to do. And we can't change them. But there are other things. There's the football game on Sunday. Maybe there's a fellowship meeting or an extra meeting in the afternoon. And you can't go because there's a football game you got to watch. Or maybe you're in a soccer league and you can't go to the Wednesday night meeting because they play on Wednesday night. There's maybe nothing wrong with those things, but when they take us away from what is really worthwhile, when it takes us away from the Lord Jesus, that's the world that the Lord Jesus is praying that you would be kept from that evil. The Lord Jesus, He prays that you would be kept from it. So why doesn't He just keep you from it? Why does He make it available? Well, He's not going to make a puppet out of you. He's not going to live your life for you. You have to take that resolve in your own heart and say, I'm going to live for Christ. And I'm going to be where He wants, where He's going to be present. And I'm going to live for Him. When we learn the ways of the world and we're sucked in by the availability of the pleasures of the world, they begin to control us. And the world becomes, it seems to become normal to us. And Satan desensitizes us as to what is right, what is wrong. And so the Lord continues on here in this His prayer. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. I want to look at one verse there. 1 Corinthians 6. In verse 12. The second part of the verse, it says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So, we've been talking about some things. There's maybe nothing wrong with them in themselves, but when they have power over me, when they control me, it becomes sin. It becomes evil. And the Lord's praise, specifically praise, in John 17, verse 15, He prays that you would be kept from that evil. In verse 17, He says, sanctify them, this is back in John 17, 17, sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. The Lord Jesus wants you to be kept pure. He says, Paul tells Timothy, keep yourself pure. He wants you to be set apart for the usefulness of the Lord Jesus. And He says, sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. Then He goes on in verse 18. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Okay, the Lord has sent you. He sent everyone here who knows the Lord as your Savior. He sent you into the world. He wants you to go there. What are you going to do in the world? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 for a couple verses before we close. And what's He sending us into the world for? We know we come into the presence of the Lord. We learn about Him. We worship Him. Maybe we come on Lord's Day morning to remember Him in His death. We come in as holy priests. But then we're to go out as royal priests in service for the Lord. And the Lord sends us out into the world to serve Him. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given to you the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? That's to tell people about the Lord Jesus. To give the gospel to people so that they can be reconciled to God by the death of His Son. The Lord Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood, and He wants you to tell the story. Do you know how to tell the story about the Lord of the way of salvation? We were having a game in here this afternoon, and some of the kids brought some objects, and they had to explain or give a sales pitch how this particular item could be used for certain different things. And one of the questions was, how can you use this object as an illustration for the gospel? And the three people who came up, they had good thoughts about what the gospel is. One person said that they would give them the gospel through John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then they said, there was another verse, that what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then another person, they talked about the blood of Jesus, how the blood can be applied for salvation. Someone else said they need to let them know that they are a sinner. Do you know how to be saved? Do you know how to tell someone else to be saved? God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. You need to know how to tell somebody how to be saved. You can't say, oh, just ask Jesus into your heart. That's a good way to send somebody to hell. Because how can Jesus come into a heart that's dirty and filthy in sin? You need to tell them how to get their heart clean so the Lord Jesus can come into them. Sometimes people, they trust in a prayer instead of trusting in the Lord Jesus. And so some of the things that we can tell a person is, first of all, they need to know that Jesus is God. Because the Lord Jesus says, if you do not believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. So the person first needs to know who Jesus is, that He is God. And then he needs to know that he's a guilty sinner, doomed for damnation in hell. And then there, he needs to understand that the Lord Jesus doesn't want him to go to hell, and that He loves them and He has compassion on them, and that He went to the cross to die for them, and He took the punishment for them as their substitute. Christ died for our sins, and then He shed His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Then He was put into the grave, and 3 days later He rose again. We have a living Savior. We have the ministry of reconciliation. And it says in verse 8:19 that God hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then it says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. You are a believer. You are a representative of Jesus Christ. How good would you say your representation is? You are an ambassador. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We give thanks for this ministry of reconciliation that we have, that we might tell others about the Savior of sinners, about the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks. In His name, amen.